I don't see an end to my volunteering. Right now in school, I'm preparing to graduate in the next year. And this next year and this past year has gone by a lot with getting things finished up, getting ready for that. But, no, I don't see an end to it. I don't really consider an end to it right now. I consider it just a pause. It's just a temporary break in it. There for a while, I had my mother in the office volunteering here. I had several. When I was volunteer coordinator, believe it or not, it's hard to get volunteers to come in here. And when I was volunteer coordinator, the primary volunteers of the new ones, the ones that came after, the ones that were here before I was, the volunteers while I was here were my friends. I mean, I got every friend I had to come in here. I had a friend, my friend Heather did play, my friend Elizabeth would come in and help do filing and do paperwork. We would come and do that type of thing. I mean, excuse me, every warm, willing body I could find, I would bring in here. I did a speech in my English class on it and got a couple of volunteers from there to come in. The problem with a facility like this is that, like I said, you get burnout because it takes up your entire life, sort of. Really, it's not intentional, but you get in here and you just want to get so involved, and you just want to help, and you want to work, and then, you know, there's certain areas of your life that you neglect. You have to go back and catch up with those, or, you know, and I've always told Deborah that my education was important to me, and even if I'm not here in body, I am in spirit, and that they know that it's just a matter of a phone call, and they can have me here. I will be here. I will, you know, I've never said no to a project. They called and said, would you help us? Could you help us? Will you be there to support us? Because there are a lot of times when I first started out here of speaking engagements, which was not uncommon for the staff to go to, so that you would have at least somebody that, you know, we could say I'm asking intelligent questions. It was sort of like, here, I asked this intelligent question, now you ask an intelligent question. Because a lot of the questions that were first asked were, are you a patient today? I did a demonstration speech class on how to put a condom on correctly. And at the end of the speech, I told them, I said, I have a bag of condoms if you want. Yeah. I told them that you can come to the clinic and you can get them. And you know, the community here is very good about that because there will be people that come in and get condoms. And they're not like those cheesy condoms that you can get out of a gas station vending machine for a quarter. You know, because somebody asked me that once, I said, no, I said, these condoms are tested. These would be best for protection. That's why we've got them to protect you. We wouldn't put something that's going to break and leak or endanger your life. So, but, no, honestly, I don't ever see an end to it. It's like I said, it's sort of paused right now because I had to put my education on hold for a while to do this, and now that I'm so close to finishing up, I want to finish up my education and, you know, do that, but I'll never do it.
How many volunteer here?
Ooh, that's a good question. There are, I'd say probably 20 around and about. It's sporadic. There are local businesses that are what you would consider a volunteer. There are local banks that furnish food on clinic days. There are local church groups that have painted the children's play area in the main lobby. There are local church groups that are going to come out and replant the park to the side of the building and put the new playground furniture in. It depends. There are people that send in contributions and send them anonymous. The clinic has good support.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends. I would consider those volunteers. But as for active volunteers that do that, it depends. There are probably maybe 7 or 8 active ones that are here constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a good roster of volunteers. They have a good roster of volunteers. Like any organization, they're not always going to be here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Simply, if the possibility to be here all the time. But there's definitely, I'd say, 20 or 30 volunteers that are here all the time, willing to speak out on the clinic's behalf, or willing to do this about the clinic.
Mm-hmm. When the patients do come in, and they're getting to that really, really bad stage, is it hard to, because I know you have to be smiling, and you have to, is that hard? I mean, sometimes you just want to, just break down?
When they reach a stage where there's just absolutely nothing else that can be done, hospice is called in. And it's sort of like an omen around here. When you hear hospice has been called in, you know that that's the last. They're going home to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's what it is. It's hard. There's one patient that I really didn't know before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know his mother a lot after he died. Wonderful woman. She and I became very close. And her first Mother's Day after he died, I thought about her and I sent her a Mother's Day card. And I thought, I know you're not my mother. I said, but just so you know, there is a son out there somewhere that's thinking about you on Mother's Day. And she and I are fairly close to this day. We don't get to see each other very often. And, there are several parents here that I still know and send Christmas cards to, just as a, it's a phase, because right after the parents lose a child, they may be here 3 or 4 months consistently, just to stay with the guys and the girls that they know,
mm-hmm.
and then it comes a point where you just don't see them anymore, because they think they're peace with it, and now they're going home. And it gets very hard for parents and people who have lost people to come in here. It's a reminder all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people look at it as, I don't want to get close to you, because now you could die.
What exactly, I know you said that you gave your speech and your oral communication class, what can I do? What could other people do, other people my age? Because I know this is the time when, especially college, when people need to hear it the most. And,
well,
I mean, I know most of us can't come in here and volunteer, but in some way, how could we help?
By educating your friends. That's always been a biggie to me. I'm still educating my friends. I still preach. Wear a condom, be monogamous, learn what it's like to love one person. And I get kidded about that, because my friends say, well, these are for you, because you are, a lot of my friends tell me I'm old before my time, because they're like, you don't want to mess around, you don't want to fool around with 18,000 different people, you want to settle down. And I'm like, yes, well, it's not a matter of, it's old-fashioned to do it anymore, it's a matter of, it's what you're going to have to do to survive. You've got to live, this is what you got to do. You cannot go out and just sleep with anybody, because I have friends that do that, and I'm like, yeah, I sort of bite my lip every time. I'm like, you can't do that. And that's why I'm saying, I still get the lectures.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah and Diane still give me lectures all the time about, are you being safe? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got involved, in my relationship now, the first 6 months, that Deborah kept asking me, you know, you need to make sure you're tested. You need to be negative for 6 months before you decide to stop using protection. If you decide to stop using protection, then, you know, I kid around and say that I've got several mothers here because they all pull me aside and they're like, are you doing this? Are you doing that? You know, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do with a lot of my friends. I've seen too many people die. I've seen too many, if not necessarily people, young patients, because we have had several patients during their 50s and 60s. And, you know, like I said, it's not a disease that I want to die from. It's not a pretty disease. It will destroy the body. And you have the, and that's what I always tell my friends, you have the knowledge. You know it. You know, I had a female friend who was afraid to go buy condoms. Of what people might think. People might think she was easy if they saw her buy a condom. I'm like, I don't give a damn. Go buy them. Be smart, for God's sake. It's not worth, you know, dying at 27 from this.
Well, from what when I walk in, from what I've seen, I think this is a great place, a wonderful place. Everyone was so nice and so helpful when I walked in, when I was looking for you. Everybody was like, have you been helped? And I think this is just a really wonderful place. And I know from having a family member that did have AIDS, it was a while ago, it was about 10 years ago, and he did not have a place like this to come. Matter of fact, he died in a VA hospital in, like, somewhere around Atlanta. And, which my family supported him. I have a very close family, but I know that he didn't have, you know, that was back when people were first finding out about it, and he did not have, you know, people to talk to about it. I think that was a really hard thing for him, because he had to leave his environment in Atlanta to come back and, you know, live with us and our family. And I know that was hard, and I really wish he would have had a place like this to come. It's a really great place.
Yes, ma'am, I do.